We begin the current daf, Masechet Nesachta, daf Tes Zayin. We begin 5 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf. And that is, we mentioned the mission in the previous daf regarding one of the procedures in the Meisaita, which are the waters that the suspected adulterous woman drinks. So we said, and that was the discussion in the Brayis, is actually Machlokes regarding the specifics of this procedure, that in this cup, or this earthenware cup of water, had to be placed the earth, and there's a machlokes regarding if that had to be taken from the ground in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Heichal, or could it have been brought from outside, but then brought inside, even in the ear space. But be that as it may, one of the things is that you have to take offer, you have to take the dust, and put it into the cup of water. Now, on that, the Gemara continues, by the way, the following question. Ein sham offer, if there is no dust, there's no earth to get that's soft enough, that's able to be used in this procedure, maushit and efer. What's halacha? Can you take ashes? As the Gemara explains the question. If you alibe the Beis Shammai tibayloch, according to Beis Shammai, there's definitely no question that that's not a viable option, because the Amri they say lemitzinu efer shakaru offer. Now, although they're very similar, one's just with an aleph, one's with an ayin, which actually we pronounce the same, although they actually have different pronunciations. But besides that, that they're two totally different things. Efer is ashes, offer is dust, is earth. Now, Beis Shammai says we don't find that ashes are called earth. So therefore, when it says that you have to take offer, obviously you can't use efer, can't use ashes. However, on that, the Gemara says, Ki tibay lach alida Beis Hill. The question would begin if you hold of the position of Beis Hill. The Amri, that they say, Metzinu efer shekaru offer. We find that ashes are written in the Torah, in the term of the word offer, where although the word being used is earth, but it actually means ashes. And this machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel is in Masechet Chul and Peches Mabeis in regards to the mitzvah of Kisur Adam, which you have to cover the blood of certain animals when you slaughter them. According to Beis Hillel, they say that ashes are called offer, where the Pasuk in Bamidbar Yotes says regarding the paraduma ashes, it says, V'lochula tamei, that you should take for the person that's tamei, me'afar sreifas achatas. Now there, it's spelled with an ayin, which literally means the dust, the earth, but it's obviously not talking about dust, because it's talking about the ashes of what's burnt of the karmachatas. So Beis Hillel says, you see that although it really means to say ashes, it's written offer. So you see that offer, although it says the word earth, dust, it could mean ashes. Now, Beis Shammai disagree over there. It's because they say, no, it's only called offer sreifa. That you see that ashes could be called, so to speak, burnt dust, burnt earth. But you don't find that ashes are cold when it just used the word offer itself. So by Kisra Adama, covering the blood, where it says you have to cover with earth, you can't use ashes. So if we can then transpose that machloikis regarding our discussion over here, that's where the question begins with my. What's the halacha? As the Gemara explains, Avagav the Ikri offer. Now you could say that, okay, although that Afer is called offer, and here, yes, the Torah says to use offer to put into the cup for the Seiter, so you would think that you could use ashes too, as we find that although it used the word offer, it can mean ashes too, afer. But in that, the first option would be that no, because halcha bekarka mishkan ksiv. Here you have an extra superfluous pasuk when it says in the words that the offer that you use should be bekarka mishkan, on the ground of the mishkan, where because you already know, as we explained the previous stuff from the words asher yiyya, that will be. What do you mean will be? The earth is there already. What do you mean that it will be there? So on that, we explained the previous daf that you don't have to dig in the ground of the Mishkan, of the Heichal, to use for the Seiter. Rather, you could even bring from outside. So why are you saying the words Bekarka Mishkan? Must be that it's coming to exclude Afer. So although, yes, generally you could say that Afer will be included in the word Offer, but here, why are you using the word the ground of the Mishkan? Must mean to tell you that you need something that's similar to the Karka of the Mishkan, which is earth. That's, yes, it doesn't have to be from the Karka of the Mishkan, because that you know from Ashayiyah, but what is the Karka of Mishkan then coming to say? It has to be like the ground of the Mishkan, which means earth and not ashes. So that's option one. Eidama, or maybe the Gemara says it, no. Afer, offer can mean afer. So therefore you should be able to use the ashes for the procedure of the offer. Now, hai b'karka ha-mishkan, this says the ground of the Mishkan, then what's that coming to say? That's either l'kadi Isi ben Yehuda, which recorded in the, was a machlekes in the Braisa, how to interpret Karka Mishkan, either like he says, where it's coming to include other grounds, other holy grounds, meaning that not only in the temple of the Mishkan can you do the procedure of the Seita as it was told to Moshe in the Midbar, but even in Shiloh or Noiv or Given or the Beis Elamim, or the Isi ben Menachem Hudasi, or could it come to include like Isi ben Menachem had interpreted, which was like the Tana of the first Brisa that we quoted in the previous staff, which was just that you have to put it there on the ground, but not that Karka Mishkan is coming to say that it has to be something like ground, meaning notably dust and earth. Rather, it could be even ashes. It just has to be placed on the ground, and then you can use it. So they would ask the question, according to Basil, that offer could mean afer. Can you use, when it says offer by the Saita, ashes too, or only can you only use dust? So the Gemara says, Tashma, let's bring it right from the following halacha. The Amr Rabbi Yechonon Mishum Rabbi Shmuel says, B'shleishim mekaymeis halacha ikedes mikra. There you find three places where a halacha l'meishim esina, an oral law that's not written anywhere, uproots the simple translation of a pasuk. First of all, we find Hatayra Amra Ba'afar. The Torah says regarding the mitzvah of Kisa Adama, covering the blood of an animal that was slaughtered, that it says with earth you have to cover it and not with anything else. Yet V'alacha, the halacha l'meishim esina tells us that b'chol davar, that you could cover it with anything, not with anything, but anything that is like offer in the sense that something that you can grow things from. For example, like lime or crushed brick. These are things that, although it's not offer, doesn't have those properties, but it's like it. So you see that the halacha is being oikar, the simple translation of the pasuk, which is only with offer. Second, Hatera Amra Bitar. The Torah says regarding the prohibition of a nazir cutting his ear that it says Layaver al Roshay, that he can't use a razor to cut his ear. Yet Vahalacha b'chol davar, the halacha Mishnah Mesina tells us, as is brought in the Mishnah Masechtas Nazir daf Lametes min Alf, that a nazir that cuts his ear, whether with scissors or with a razor or any other way that he gets his hair out, he's going to be liable. So although the pasuk is saying just a razor, halacha Mishnah Mesina tells us anyway. Now, Rashi brings up an important point, and he says that seemingly this is not being oiker, it's just adding on. The Torah is correct, in other words, not uprooting the translation. The pasuk says that you now cut your hair with a razor, and that's true. The halacha Moshe Mesin is just adding on. Why is it called oiker? So Rashi says, no, it actually is uprooting it. How so? Because when a Nazir violates this isser of cutting his hair, he gets malchus. Now, according to Torah law, what the pasuk is saying is he only gets malchus when he uses a razor. When he uses, let's say, scissors, he's not deserving. So according to biblical law, if they would give lashes to someone that used something besides a razor, that person would be violating the isser of what's called lo yosef pen yosef. You're not allowed to just hit somebody without a legitimate reason. So therefore, it must be that it's being oikarit. Because if we're going to give him lashes for, let's say, using scissors, well, that's violating the isra of hitting someone without a good excuse. So it must be that the halacha mishnah in the uprooting Torah law, which was saying that you're only violating to get lashes, only with a tar, with a razor, not with, let's say, a scissor. Now, moreover, Rashi points out, is that although actually all these halacha, so to speak, we're saying halacha mishnah sinais, which, let's say, it's not just earth, it's for kis adam, it's even other things that you can grow things from, or let's say not just a razor, but even a scissor, although the Gemara learns in other places, psukim that we darshan and we expound as sources for these halachas, both in for all of them in Masechtas Chulin, Daf Peches Mabeis, Gittin, Daf Chof Alvin Beis, and Nazir, Daf Lametes Mabeis. So why are we saying it's like halacha l'meishim b'sinai when we're saying we actually learn these halachas on the psukim? So that Rashi explains that Rabbi Shmuel doesn't hold that these are the interpretations of the psukim. For example, when we say because of law regarding the halachas of a get, which is the next one we're going to quote over here, that has to be in the sefer. So he, although that there are those that make a drasha that comes to include l'chol davar, anything that you write on that he doesn't expound it like that. He says that the because of law comes to tell you that the woman can only be divorced through writing and can't be divorced, let's say, through money, which you could get married through money, as the Gemara there expounds. And so too for all these three halachas. Rather, the source for these halachas are halacha l'meishim b'sinai. And therefore, the psukim that although they're brought as if they're the source, they're just what's called an asmacht be'alma, just an allusion to it. But we don't see that in the psukim. Now, therefore, Rashi, therefore, it says that answers a difficult question why Rabbi Shmuel only counts these three as examples of being oikiv and oikir the halacha. But there's many times we have drashas that are, so to speak, uprooting the simple translation of the pasuk. That Rabbi Shmuel doesn't count. Because yes, if you have a source for it as a drush in the pasuk, we have no problem that that's not exactly as the pshat from the pasuk. Here, what we're talking about is that these are things that have no source whatsoever, because again, he doesn't learn them as full-fledged drushes, rather the halacha meisha b'sinai, and still the uprooting, the simple translation and understanding of what the pasuk is coming to say. Now, and the third one is, Hatayra Amra Sefer. The Torah says that regarding divorcing a woman with a get, it has to be a scroll, a parchment. Yet halacha meisha b'sinai tells us that anything that you write on, if you write on an olive leaf or a piece, or a different type of piece of paper, not parchment or a tablet, either one, that's going to include in the halacha. So we see that halacha, at least in these three places, could be oikar, could uproot the what it says in the pasuk. So that's what Rabbi Shmuel says now. Says the Gemara, v'im isa, now if it was true, regarding this question that we're having, that afer, that ashes, would also be kosher by the halachas of a site and not just afer, well then lichshav nami hai. Then Rabbi Shmuel should have said a fourth thing, where the halacha is going to be oikiv, going to be uprooting the pasuk, because the Torah says you have to use afar, dust, and the halacha l'mishum is saying that even ashes. Now, as Rashi points out, and addressing the question, is that because afar is not naturally understood to be part of afar, and the reason being is because Rabbi Shmuel holds that afar is not, because it says afar by kisa adam, that we know that it means afar, that there's special halachas that tell us that's what it means. But it's not the simple translation. And therefore, if the Torah tells you by Saita that you have to use Afar, and you're telling me that Afar is included in Afar, well then it should have said that halacha meisha b'sinai, that Afar could be included in Afar, will be overriding the simple translation that it could only be Afar. So I think my answer is, that's not a riot, it's not a proof. Because we can say Tana v'shayer, that Rabbi Shmuel didn't mention all the places where halacha meisha b'sinai could be uprooting a pasuk, a mikra. Rather, he said some, and b'shayer he left over. There were other cases he didn't mention. Now, the Gemara asks, as it always does in Shas, whenever it says Tana b'shayer, which is umay shayer, the higher shayer, what else was left over that we left over this one? Because if you have a category of three, and there was only one more, you would just say that one more. If there's a 10 more, whatever, two more, you wouldn't say it. So it must be at least two that was left over. What is something else that you're proving that there are other cases that could have been mentioned? Let's say that by the case of Saita, that Afer and not just Afer, what else would be a halacha that's being Oikar the Pasuk? So I think about it. It's a Shai Mitzayra. That what was left out was the halacha of a Mitzayra by his second haircutting. That is because a Mitzayra, when he's finishing his Tzaraz, he needs two haircuttings. Where it says in the Pasuk, first of all, V'chibes HaMataras B'gadav, the one that's purifying himself, washes his clothing. And then V'hoi B'yem Shvi, on the seventh day, again, Yigalech as Kalsari, he cuts his hair. Which is, as Rashi points out, by the first time he cuts his hair, there's no, as we'll see shortly in the Braisa, there's no klal or prat, there's no general statement and then specific. Rather, it just says an ambiguous term that he has to cut off all his hair, which sounds like his whole entire body, which is his arms, his thighs, his underarms. His whole body has to be smooth like a gourd, like a type of a vegetable where there's no hair in it whatsoever. Now, the Tanya learned in the Braisa, it says a pasuk in Beyikra. It says, on the seventh day, and this is regarding his second hair cutting, on the seventh day he has to cut off all his hair. Now that's klal, a general statement, just as all the hair. But then it says, as reishai, his head, vezekane, his beard, vezgabes, enibet, his eyebrows, that's prat, those are specifics, what type of hair should be cut off. Then it says, vezkol sari galech, and all the hair in his body should cut off. Now, chaz v'kal, it goes back and says again a general statement. So that's what's known in halacha as klal uprat uklal. You have a general statement, a specific, and a general statement. So that halacha tells us, which is one of the Yigam Amidah Shatari Nidreshes Behen, I'ata don elike ina prat. So therefore you qualify, what does it mean when the Mitzari has to cut off all his body here? It means all those hairs which are similar to the specifics that were mentioned in the Pasuk, which is ma prat meforish, just like the specifics that were mentioned. They're specifically mokum kinu sar. They're all places where hair gather, the head, the beard, the eyebrows, and venira, they're visible. I've called Malkam Kinus Abinir, so too, what type of hair has to be shaved off from the body of the Mitzayra? Has to be A, where hair gathers, and that they're visible. So my Rabbi, what's being included from the Klal Prata Klal, besides the head, the beard, and the eyebrows? Rabbi Ser Haraglaim, it comes to include the hair of the feet, which is a euphemism. It really refers to the hair of the pubic hairs, where the hair gathers, and if the person is not dressed over there, they're visible. Now, my meat, what's being excluded from those two criterion? First of all, miyat, the beis hashechi, it excludes the hair of the underarm, udekule gufa, and it excludes the hear from the rest of the body, which specifically that refers to when it says it has to be hear, which is gathered, where you see a lot of hear in one place, that excludes the hear from, let's say, the arms or the thighs, where although there's hear there, but it doesn't gather into one place, they're interspersed. And when it says it has to be visible, that excludes the hair of the underarm, where even if the person is standing there undressed, in contrast to the pubic area, you won't see the hair of the underarm. It's not visible. So those two criteria are excluding the rest of the body, which is just you have throughout the body hairs, but they're not gathered in one place, and of the underarm. Now, so that's what the Braisa says. However, v'helcha sadalocha, L'moshe Messina tells us, is megaleach kidalas, when he does shave his body, by the second hair cutting, he cuts off his whole entire body, all the hair on his body, meaning he has to be smooth like a gourd. Now, how do we know this? It's not like we learned in the Mishnah, Masechtas Nagoyim. The Mishnah there says, Bolo lahakev esa metzera. When they're coming to the term hekev, as like we find, leisakiv v'asreish, means to totally cut off all the hair. So when they're coming to do the body shave of the metzera, so, maver tar al kol besari. So, and this is in the context of the first hair cutting. So, they take a razor and go over his whole entire body, cut off all the hair. Now, that we know, everyone agrees, because it just says all the body hair by the first hair cutting, then you cut off all the body hair. But uktani seifa, the end of the Mishnah says, ubayyoyim eshvi, on the seventh day, which is when he does his second hair cutting, megalcha taglacha shnia, you cut his hair a second time, kit taglacha asri shayna, like the first time he cut his hair, which obviously that the second time you cut the hair of the body is also like a gourd, because it says that by the first one you take a razor all over the body, and the second one's just like that one. So therefore you find another one that was Tana v'Shayer, where although the Pasuk says, klal prat to klal, that you only cut off the hair on the body that's gathered and visible, which excludes certain types of hairs, we find that the Mishnah tells us, which is obviously coming from Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai, that you cut off all the body hair. So you see, the halacha is being oikar the pasuk. So therefore, it's not so difficult to say that Rabbi Shmuel left out not just the case of saita, which yes, maybe, although it says in the pasuk, offer, dust, it could include afer, which is ashes, because it also left out the case of mitzari by a second hair cutting. That's what the Gemara wants to say, that it won't prove that the halacha is that afer is not included by offer. So that the Gemara says, no. Amar Nachma Yitzchak, he says that mitzvah is not considered a case that was left out of the category of Rabbi Shmuel, that of a halacha being oikar a pasuk, because kiko chashiv, when did we count in Rabbi Shmuel's braisa? That was only halacha oikevis mikra, when halacha meshmasina uproots a pasuk that was written. For example, the case that he said of sefer, it says a sefer, or tar, razor, or offer dust. We there the pasuk says it, and yet halacha is uprooting what it says in the pasuk. But ha, oikeves midrabanan he, this is just uprooting a drasha of the rabbis who they learn up from what's called klal prat klal, that it should only be if it's gathered and visible. But it's not a pasuk that says explicitly that the halacha is uprooting, and therefore it's not a raya to say that mitzayir wasn't mentioned, and therefore you could have shayir de high shayir, because mitzayir is not included in that category anyway. So therefore, again, it would be back to the seemingly proof that obviously by Saita you cannot use Afer. Because if it would be, then there would be Halacha being Eker Apasik, and that should have been mentioned because there's nothing else that was left out because Mitzayra is not a case of being Eker or Mikra, rather Drasha Drabanan. So to another point to refute the Gemara's defense of excluding the Raya, which is Rapapam, he says again, he says, Kika Chasha, when did Rabbi Shmuel count cases, was Halacha Ekevis Voikeris. Is only when the halacha meshem besina comes and uproots the pasuk. Ha, akeves umesefesi. Here, what it's doing is it's actually adding on to the pasuk. It's not uprooting. The pasuk says you only have to cut off this amount of hair. When you cut off more hair, it's not contradicting. It's just adding on to what the pasuk doesn't say. So therefore, that's another reason why we wouldn't be able to say that's shayi de high shayi. And the third point, Rav Ashi Ami says, he says, forget about it. He says, Machlal, there's no raya from the case of the mitzayra to as if to add to the team of saita why not every case was said. You can't say that. Because homas nitin mani. Who is the tana of this braisa that we first quoted that said that the halacha by mitzayra is that he only cuts off the hair by his second hair cutting of where the hair is gathered and that it's visible? And not like how the Mishnah Masechtas Nagoyim says that it has to be all the body here like a delas. That's Rabbi Shmuel. That's Rabbi Shmuel. The Darish that he expounds throughout the whole Torah, the way he learns it is klali uprati, is in the category of general statement and specifics, whereas the Gemara in Sefer Shmuel, Stav Chavav, and Aleph explains that there's two schools of thought. Rabbi Shmuel served Rabbi Nachman ben Akana, who he expounded the whole Torah in what's called klal and prat, whereas Rabbi Kiva, he served Nachum Ish Gamzu, who he expounded in a different way, in what's called ribui miyut, inclusive and exclusionary, where Rashi explains in detail Masechta the Sukkah and Perek Chalil, where regarding the differences in the nuances of what's the difference if you call it klal prat, a general statement and specific, or ribui miyut, which is an inclusionary term and an exclusionary term. But what Ravashi is pointing out is you don't have a halacha, which is what you're quoting from the Mishnah Masechta Nagoyim, being oikar mikra, which is what you're bringing from the Brisa, because they're actually two different opinions. They're not contradicting each other and one's uprooting the other. The Brisa was going like Rabbi Shmuel, who learns klal prat klal, and therefore he learns klal prat klal, which is to say that, okay, just like the specific, it's gathered and visible. However, as we continue, Tamid Beis says Rav Ashi, kedalas, this that we learned in the Mishnah, that the second haircut is like the first haircut, which he cuts all his body hair like a gourd. Mani, who is that? That's Rabbi Kiva. That's Rabbi Kiva. The Darish Ribu Yeyumayute, that he expounds the whole Torah in inclusionary and exclusionary terms to tell him, like, learn the Brisa. Pasuk says in Yikra, V'hoye b'yem eshvi galeches kolsar, and this is specifically for what we're discussing, to show you that they're coming from two different schools of thought, and therefore it's not that it's halacha being oikar, it's a different opinion. Where the Pasuk says, again, on the seventh day, Galeches Kalsari, he should cut off all his hair. So it says Rabbi Kiva, Reba, that includes everything. But then when it says, the hair on his head, the hair on his beard, and the eyebrows, that's meat, that excludes, it's saying only this. Then when it says, all the hair he should cut off, that's Chaz of Reba, that goes back and includes everything. So when you have a Reba, you're mute of a Reba, when you have inclusionary, exclusionary, and inclusionary, really, Reba HaKol, that means to say we're including everything. All here should be cut off. So my Reba, what's being included? Reba the Kula Gufa. That means you're coming to include all the hair on the body has to be shaved off. Or my meat, but then what's being excluded by the exclusionary terms of the head, the beard, and the eyebrows? That's, as we find throughout Shas, that excludes just like the thing that's almost not included at all, which is meat sasha b'techa choytim. That comes to exclude the hair in the nostrils, where that, okay, that will be excluded. But really, he's as smooth as a gourd, all his body here is being cut off. And therefore, says Rav Ashi, that you can't say that the Shamai Shire, the High Shire, besides Saita, to say that Afer is included in Afer, is the case of Mitzayr, by Teklach HaShnia, and as we find that the halacha of the Mishnah, which is, so to speak, halacha Mishnah Sinai, uprooting the drush of the Pasuk of Klal Prat Klal, it's not true, it's not coming from halacha Mishnah Sinai. That Mishnah Masechet Segoim is like Rabbi Kiva, who learns it from Reba Meir Reba, and that's why he says that all the hair has to be cut off besides the hair in the nose. The Brisa is going like Rabbi Shmuel, who says Klal Prat Klal. So it's a machlokes, not a halacha being Iker, a mikra. So then the Gemara comes back and says, so my havala. So what is the conclusion regarding the original question that we asked, that if there is no offer, so then what's the halacha regarding using Eifer, using ashes? Now, Tosfos actually addresses the point, then seemingly it should be a raya from what we brought from the Rabbi Shmuel that only included three and not the case of Saita, which we didn't find another Mai Shire to High Shire. So that Taisa says, because there are times that there are those who hold that there would be Shiura, and that is there could be other reasons why there was one case left out. So therefore, it's not a full-fledged riot. So that's the Gemara's question. So what's the conclusion? Can we use ashes if there's no dust, if there's no earth available to be used? So the Gemara says, Tashma, let's bring a raya, because the Amrav Hudna Bar Ashi Amar Rav. Rav said, "Ein sham offer if there is no dust. So maybe rakvuvis yerek umekadesh. You bring the decay of a vegetable, which is just the deteriorates on the ground, umekadesh, and then you sanctify it by putting it in the place of the heichel, and then the place sanctifies, and then you go and you take it from there. So obviously you see that it's lav dafka. It's not necessarily offer dust. You could even use other things that are similar to that." The Gemara says, there's no raya from there, there's no proof. Rakvuv is yerek, who to have you offer? No, the decay of a vegetable, that could be considered, which that's part of the ecosystem, that it then could turn into dust, so that will consider like offer. But eifel to have you offer, but there's no proof to say that ashes would also be considered like offer, and then the Gemara doesn't resolve the question if by the seita procedure of putting offer, if eifel can also be used according to the opinion of Beis Hillel. Now the Mishnah said that regards to putting the offer into the water, you have to put in kedesh yira alamayim, enough that you'll see the offer, the dust, on the water, not that it gets dissolved into the water itself. Now, Tana Rabbanan will in the Braisa, that actually shleisha tzrichin sheyiro, there's three halachas that we find that the item has to be visible. They are, as we're discussing in our Mishnah, offer saita, with the dust of the for the saita waters, where it says in the pasuk in Bamidbar, hey el hamayim, to the water, which is that it has to be visible from the fact that it doesn't say b'mayim, in the water, which, I mean, it could get dissolved in the water. The efer para, the ashes of the para duma, where, as the Gemara later on will tell us, there's a gzeira shava, learning out the halachas of efer para from ofer saita. So again, just like the ofer saita, you have to be able to see it in the water, so to the ashes of the para duma, you have to be able to see in those waters that are being thrown on the person that's tame. And v'roik yavama, the spittle of the yavama, which she does, it has to be visible by the eyes of the elders, as the pasuk says, she has to spit le'eni hazakenim, to the eyes of the elder, and then mechaltza, it says, v'yarka, she has to spit, so we see that it has to be to their eyes. Now, the name of Rabbi Shmuel, they said that afdam tzipur, there's also a fourth thing that has to be visible, which is the blood of the bird of the mitzaira, one of the two birds which are slaughtered into an earthenware vessel, almayim chayim, on live waters. So, and that is what Rabbi Shmuel is saying, that you have to have only enough water that it's not going to totally nullify the blood of the bird. You have to be able to see the redness, the blood of the bird in the water. Now the Gemara asks, my time to Rabbi Shmuel, what's the reason Rabbi Shmuel? Where does he know this from? Like it says, a pasuk in the Yikra. It says, V'tavol eisam b'damat tzipur v'gaymer, that there are a few items that are used in the procedure of the mitzayra. So on that the pasuk says, regarding the ezayv and the shniatelas and the eitz eres, what you do is you dip them into the blood of the bird. Now, Patan, you learn the Braisa. When it says in the pasuk bedam, you dip these things into the blood of the bird. So yochol bedam v'le b'mayim. You would think if it only said that, you dip these things into blood, not into water. Tamalim b'mayim. That's what the pasuk teaches, that you dip it into water. Now, imayim, if it would only say water, so yochol b'mayim v'le bedam, you would think you dip these things into the water and not into the blood. Tamalim b'dam. So, but the pasuk also says that you dip it into blood. So haketzad, so how do you resolve that? Are you dipping into blood or are you dipping into water? So that is what the Braisa explains, that Rabbi Shmuel holds, is maybe mayim shadam tzipur nikabam. You actually have to dip it into both. What does that mean? You bring enough water that the blood of the bird that was slaughtered over the water will be visible. So it's going to be in the blood and in the water. Now, bakama, how much water is that? That's a revius, that's a quarter of a leg of water, as the Gemara will shortly explain. It's a reference to a specific type of bird called a tzipa dror, where the Chachamim evaluated and they knew that that type of species will never make problems with water. In other words, you're never going to have a bird that's too small that the blood is going to become dissolved and not visible in the revius of water. And neither is it going to be too much that's going to overpower. You're not going to see the water either. It'll be that you could see water and blood. That's the type of bird. It's in the revius of water. Now, Rabban, however, they tell you, not like Rabbi Shmuel, because they said there's only three things that have to be visible, and not the dam tzipur. They say the pasuk that Rabbi Shmuel is bringing is ahula gufe. Those two terms of dam and mayim, I'm not coming to tell you that it has to be the amount of water that blood is visible, but rather it's coming to teach you the halacha itself. In other words, the hachikam rachmana. What the Torah is telling you is, Atvel b'dam u'b'mayim. When it says dam and mayim, it's not to say this halachic interpretation that you're saying of blood that's visible in water. It's saying that you should dip it into the blood and in the water, even if the blood's not visible. Now, Rabbi Shmuel, however, he would tell you, im kein, if that's the case, lichtav rachmona v'tavel behem. If it mentioned already the blood and the water, it should just say that you should dip these items into them. B'dam u'b'mayim lomali, why does it have to specify that you dip it into blood and you dip it into water? Obviously, says Rabbi Shmuel, l'nikr, that it has to be recognizable that you see the blood in the water. But Rabbanan, they would tell you no. Ikasa rachmana v'tav behem, because if, like you're proposing, Rabbi Shmuel, that it would say that you dip these items into them, havamina hayluchudeh v'hayluchudeh, I would think, yeah, you dip it into them, but that you could dip it into the water separately and into the blood separately. Kasa rachmana b'damu b'mayim, that's what the Torah says, that you dip it into the blood. And it says you dip it into the water to tell you la'arvin that you mix them together, and that's how you dip it in. It's one dipping into both of them. Now, Rabbi Shmuel would tell you, no. La'arvin, regarding this that you're saying, what it's coming to teach is that you mix them together, that kra'achrinik's it. That we have another pasuk that teaches us that. And that's a pasuk in Vayikra Yudal hey, where it says in the pasuk b'shachat es atzipor ha'echas v'goyimah, that he slaughters one of the two birds that he has, as the pasuk says al el kli charis, to an earthenware vessel, al mayim chayim, on living waters. So obviously you see that the blood is going into, if you're slaughtering it over the water, so obviously they're getting mixed right away. So you wouldn't need b'damah b'mayim to say that it's getting mixed. So obviously Rabbi Shmuel says, it's coming to teach mahalacha, that the blood has to be visible in the water. Now, but Rabbanan, they would respond and say, no. Imahu, if from the pasuk that you're bringing, from that you slaughter it, when it says, el kli cheres al mayim chayim, says the Rabbanan, that wouldn't be a proof that you see that they're mixing already, and therefore you don't need dam and mayim to tell you that. Because havamina, I would think to say that although it used the word al kenosa mean near. So what the pasuk could be saying, if I didn't have dam and mayim saying, would be lishchete samach lamano, you should slaughter the bird near the vessel, meaning v'nin continue levridin, however, but you hold the vridin, which are the blood vessels where the blood's coming out, where it's being killed, you hold that between the fingers so that blood shouldn't come out, and actually b'lekavli l'damba b'nachrina, that you receive the blood actually in a different vessel. And that's why the Rabbanan say you need the other pasuk of b'damba mayim to tell you that you mix them together, and if they disagree with the interpretation of Rabbi Shmuel, who he says no, that you know it's mixing because you slaughter it over and therefore it's going in right away. Of course it's mixing, and therefore b'damba mayim is coming to tell you that the blood has to be visible. They say no, because from that pasuk, al can mean near, and who said that the blood would be dripping in? You would actually hold it and receive it somewhere else, and therefore b'damba mayim has to tell you regarding that they mix, and not necessarily that you have to see the blood in the water. Now the Gemara continues and says that boyim and rebim mir b'zera. G'dayla, what would be the halacha? You said that, according to Bishmal, that the blood has to be visible in the water. So we said, how much water is that? It's a revius of water. No. So on that, the Gemara asks, G'dayla, let's say a large bird, umadacha sesamayim, and that pushes away the water. In other words, that you don't see anymore the water because there's so much blood, it overpowers the visibility of the water. Or kitana, let's say a very small bird, v'nitches m'nehamayim, and that gets pushed away because of the water, meaning you almost don't see that there's blood in here. Maho, what's the halacha over there? In other words, you're saying that it's revius, but again, depending on the bird size, it's going to depend if the blood's going to be visible in that amount of water. So Amalei, so Reb Zeir responded to Rabbi Yirmiyah. He said, Lama minalach loitepik nafshach lebar mehilcha. So didn't I already tell you, don't remove yourself from the framework of halacha? In other words, whenever the chacham establish a halachic status, a certain cutoff line, don't start thinking about how is it possible that it's exactly as they say it. Because b'tzipa d'roshi rabbanon, the rabbis used specifically the bird known as tzipa d'ror. And that is because ein lecha gedoy l'shamadecha sesamayim, there is no tzipa d'ror bird that's big enough, that's going to have so much blood, that's going to overpower the water. And neither ve'ein lecha ketan l'shanitzchas me'amayim, they knew that the tzipa d'ror doesn't have a bird that small, that's going to have so little blood, that's going to be pushed away because of the water, and therefore there's no problem. Any tzipa d'ror will tell you and is able to be used as the criterion of seeing the blood inside the water when you're using a revius of water. Now, Tarban will learn the braisa. Hikdim ofer lamayim. Regarding this halacha of that we're discussing of the ofer saita, so regarding if, let's say they first poured, although we mentioned in our Mishnah that the water from the kir is poured in, and then they take the ofer, the dust from the floor of the heichel, and they put it in. What's halacha if they first put the offer, the dust, in, and then the water? So that the Rabban and the Tanakhama says, puzzle, it's puzzle, because like the pasuk says, v'nosen el hamayim, you put the earth into the water, so obviously the water is in the vessel first. Now moreover, the pasuk says, v'asla ha-koyin es kol ha-tara azayis, the koyin should do like everything that's written over here, which means say it has to be exactly as written in the Torah. Therefore the Tanakhama says, it's puzzle. But Reb Shimon says it's going to be kasha. So asks the Gemara, my time at Reb Shimon, what's the reason of Reb Shimon? So as the Gemara explains, the chassid, because it says a pasuk in Bamidbar regarding something else, which is the paraduma, the red heifer, which is when someone became tame, ritually impure from touching a corpse, so it has to be sprayed on from these ashes that are mixed with water, day 3, day 7. So the pasuk says, v'lochu la tame, that you should take for someone that's ritually impure, me'afar sreifas achatas, from the ashes of that which burnt from this chat is from the paraduma. No, but time to learn the brayso. Amr Reb Shimon, he says, "Tchi afar hu." Read the pasuk. It says, "Me afar with ayin of the sreifas achatas." What is that? Dust? V'aloi efer hu. It's ashes. So why does he use it with an ayin? It should be aleph. Rather, Shina Kosev B'Mashmoi, the Pasuk changed the wording from an Aleph to an Ayin to tell you, Lodin Amen Gzeir Shava. Specifically, because I wanted to teach you Gzeir Shava from Paraduma to Saita. And that's why he specifically used the word offer, because to tell you, Nemekan offer, here it says offer. V'nem Lahalan offer, it says over there by Saita also offer. To tell you as follows, Malahalan, just like over there by Saita, the mitzvah initially, what's called Liketchila, is offer al gabe mayim. First you put in, as the Pasuk says, water, and then offer on top of that. Sa'afkan, also over here by the Paraduma, is offer al gabe mayim, is also the mitzvah Liketchila is to have the mayim, the water first, and then the offer, meaning the afer, the ashes. Now, as Rashi points out, and that you shouldn't say when, although it says benosin olav, it means to say that you should put the offer first, and then you're putting the mayim chayim on top of that. On that, we're saying that no, we learn now from Saita that first is the water, and then comes the ashes. Now, but then the gezeirah shava works the other way too, which is umakan, just like over here by the paraduma, by the red heifer. Hikdim offer lamayim kosher. If you do the offer, meaning really afer, if you do the ashes, again we're using the word offer because that's why the pasuk changed it to make the gezeirah shava. But if you put the ashes first before the water, it's going to be kosher, as the Gemara will shortly explain. Aflahalan hikdim offer lamayim kosher. So that's where Reb Shimon's source that he says is kosher. For the Saita, we learn that from Paraduma, where also if you put the offer first and then the water, it's going to be kosher. Now, ask the Gemara, Bahasim over there by Paraduma, where if you put in the offer, really the afer, the ashes first, before the water, that's going to be kosher, minolon. Where do we know that by Paraduma that you're learning out Saita from there? So, in that, the Gemara says, because Trei Kroi Ksivi, there are two psukim. Ksiv, this, the Pasuk says in Bamidbar, and this is Perikutes Pasuk Yizayin, it says, V'lachu la'tami, they should take for the person that tami me'afar sreifas achatas, from the, really the ashes again, but it's used the offer of the, what's burned from the chatas, and it says, V'nosn olav ma'im chayim, that you should put on it, which it was just talking about the ashes of the paraduma, you should put on it olav ma'im chayim, the water. Sa'ama, says the Gemara, Efa Beresha, obviously the ashes are first. Yet uksib, but in that same pasuk at the end, again, depending of where you put the words ma'im chayim, it says, ma'im chayim el kali, the live waters to the vessel, which sounds like that what's touching the vessel? The waters, and that there shouldn't be any dust that's interposed between the water and the vessel. Sa'ama ma'im Beresha, you see that the water's first, and only then do you put in the ashes. So ha'ketzat, how do you resolve this apparent paradox of the pasuk? So rotz is a nice and rotz is a nice and. So what I would understand is to say that whichever one you want to put in first, either ashes and then water, or water then ashes. Now, that is what we learn from the Gezeirah Shavah, however, that as Reb Shimon said, that however, but although now the Gezeirah Shavah tells us that you should do like the Saita, which is that Leketchila, you should first put the water and then the ashes. However, b'di'evid, that's what we're learning out from the other pasuk, which tells you, no, that after the fact, either one will work, even if you put first the ashes and then the water. So therefore, Reb Shimon says, you see by paraduma, that if you do the ashes, again, we're using the word offer, and then water, it's going to be valid, because as it says, where it says, b'nosna olav, mayim chayim, that you're putting the water on top of the ashes. So therefore, we learn that from the word of offer, by Saita 2, that if you put the offer, the dust first, and then you put the water, that it'll be kosher. Now, however, the Rabbanan, they would tell you, they who said before that by Saita, that if you put the offer, the dust, before the water, it's going to be possible, they would tell you actually that not only is it possible by the Saita, and you, Reb Shimon, you're trying to make Gzeirah Shavah from Paraduma, they tell you that no, that actually by Paraduma, actually putting the afer first is also possible. Because El Kli Dafka, this that it says, that Mayim Chaim El Keli, that which sounds like that the water has to be first, that is the specific one. That's the one that has to be that way. Now, although that you proved that it said, v'nosn olav, that you're pouring on it, meaning on the ashes, mayim, that the water seemingly is coming after the ashes, that's not what it's coming to say. That's coming to say, la'arvan, that after you put the ashes into the water, then you have to mix the water well and mix it, so that's when you're going to have the v'nosn olav mayim, that the water is going to be going onto the ashes, because you're mixing it, but not because the ashes were there first. Naim Chaim El Kelly says that the water has to be the thing that touches the vessel, and the ashes are put on afterwards, and therefore, even if you had this Gzeir Shav, I wouldn't tell you anything regarding Saita, because even Paraduma, you have to have water then ashes, so too by Saita, you have to have water and then the offer. Now, that the Gemara asks on the opinion of the Rabbanon, Ve'ema olav davka, how do you know that Mayim Chaim El Kelly is davka? And Menosna love Mayim Chaim is telling you that it's lav davka, it's only that you should mix it. Maybe I could tell you the other way around. Ve'ema olav davka, maybe say that the offer should be first. And that's why it says, Menosna love Mayim Chaim. It talks about the ashes and says that you put the water on top of that. Now, and although this that it says that you have the Mayim Chaim El Kelly that's in the vessel, that's not to say that the water has to be the first thing in there which is touching the vessel. Rather, that's coming to say a different drasha. Shetehei chiyusan bikli, that it should be alive in that vessel, meaning that you shouldn't take from the spring water with another vessel and pour it into this vessel. Rather, this should be the vessel that drew from the spring. That's what it says, Mayim Chaim El Kelly, that the live water should go into the vessel, but not because it should be the first thing in the vessel. It's just that even if you put in the ashes first, but then this cup, this bowl, should be the first thing. It should go straight from the spring into this one. So who said that El Kelly is Dafka and the Nasan of Mayim Chaim is not Dafka? Maybe it's the other way around. So I think Gemara says, no, you can't say that. Because Mamet, Tzinu B'chol Makom, just like we find elsewhere, specifically, let's say, by the Saita, where the Machshir, the thing that fixes and prepares the potion. For example, when you have the water is just a neutral ingredient. Water is the common denominator in all these different things. Now, what prepares the water to work its magic on the Saita? It's the offer. So too, for example, let's say by the Dam Tzipar, which you have water that's used to spray on the Metzayer. Now, the water, what prepares it to work, is the blood. Now, we find by all those things that the Machshir, the thing that prepares it, is Lamala, is on the top. The blood is on top of the water. The offer from the Saita is on top of the water. So therefore, says the Rabbanan, Afkan Machshir, here also, the Machshir, what prepares it, meaning the ashes of the Paraduma, what prepares the water to be able to work its magic when it's being sprayed on the person, the Tameh, is also going to be, Lamala is going to be on the top, and therefore they say it must be that El Kelly is Dafka, that the water is on the bottom, it's the first thing in, and Menosna Lav Mayim Chaim, again, is teaching a different halacha. That's just teaching that they mix, and therefore, say the Rabbanan, not only do we argue on Yerub Shimon by the Saita, because we always find that the Machshir is on the top, so even by Paraduma, which is where you're supposedly learning your Gzeir Shava of Saita from Paraduma, that just like there, that it could be either one, at least by the Evid, that the ashes can be first, it's not true. The ashes have to be on the top, just like all of the Machshirim that prepare things have to be on the top.